Good morning and welcome. How are all of you today?
Morning.
So we have a lot of great things going on today, and I think my announcement person's coming forward now. But I would like to say welcome to all of you. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood, and I will be part of the service, as will Dean Moyer, who's doing announcements, Dale Fryer, who is our cantor or song leader, Joyce Flynn, who will be our liturgist, and we have a guest choir director today, Chris Cresswell. Okay, and I'll make one more announcement while we're waiting for him. Fair trade coffee sales will be today, next week, October 1st, and the first Sundays every month throughout the year from then on. Okay, so that's our fair trade coffee sale. Dean, here's your sheet. Okay. Other announcements. Song and, oh no, are you ready? Yes.
Here I was going to follow the directions carefully, and I couldn't find a bulletin. And guess who picked it up and had my bulletin? I'm Dean Moyer. It's great to welcome all of you. Whatever brings you here. Now, I've got the new directions, so I'm going to have to be very careful today and follow them, or I'll lose my big position here at University. Yes. Dale just said it. Okay, welcome to all of you. No matter what brings you here, custom, needs, curiosity, we're glad you're here. Alicia, you've welcomed our guest choir director, so I can move past that. And if you are new here, feel free to pick up one of these brochures, which tells you something about our church. You'll find lavender inserts in the bulletin that you can use to list your presence with us and drop it in the offering plate. And you see one waving there. If you have a prayer request you'd like read, put that on it, and they'll be collected a little later on in the service. The order appears in the bulletin somewhat abbreviated. The full service is on both of these screens here that you can follow. Now it says directions, restrooms. You can go down that way or down out back here and find restrooms. The gathering room that's sometimes referred to is the room back of the sanctuary. Again, safe sanctuary policy means children should always be accompanied by an adult when they leave the sanctuary. Now I can mention a couple opportunities for Christian discipleship. Is someone else going to mention some of the good news about our church?
Yes.
Okay, we'll have that first.
Thanks, Dean, and thanks to everybody who came to be part of the congregational meeting last Sunday. After worship, we overwhelmingly passed a sanctuary resolution. What that means, it doesn't mean that we're housing people here in the church. It does mean that we're committed to educating ourselves about the needs of migrant workers and all kinds of immigrants and refugees. It means we're going to support people who are at risk of deportation and detention, and to advocate for justice and due process so that families can stay together. We also are building coalition with other churches and congregational groups in this community. So thanks to Nelson Price and the governing board and everybody who worked together to help make this happen. Our next steps are going to be interesting because we really need to stay connected not only with the other congregations who are working on this, but directly with the leaders and workers and migrant people who are in our community. So it's a really wonderful opportunity for hospitality and for WWJD. Right? Okay. So thanks, and keep in touch. If you need more information, see me or Nelson or Barb Nunn or Nate Appleton or anybody on the Church and Society team. Thanks again.
You'll see those white buckets. They're called flood buckets. And you fill them with the right things, and they will find their way most likely southward to where people experience so much flooding. You can get a list that tells you what you need to include in that. Look at this green insert, which gives you a lot of information also. Or you can contribute. If you wanted to pay for what it takes to fill one of those buckets, you can leave an extra check for $65 for the church and mark it for a flood bucket. We are starting our new study groups. The first one did meet Friday. The next one meets at my house on tomorrow evening at 6:30. About 7 people, I think, are signed up, but we could be able to take more. So if you might want to come to the study on Monday night, feel free to speak to me afterward. Or even if you just show up, if you can find 112 Pleasant View Avenue. The study, of course, America's Original Sin, Racism, White Privilege, and the Bridge to a New America by Jim Wallace. Starkey had an announcement. They would be glad to have some more volunteers to help with the breakfast on the second and fourth Sunday mornings. Speak to the guy in the green shirt that's waving, standing up now. And also that we're having a meeting of those who would like to be ushers, greeters, etc. You'll see that in the bulletin. Let's see a hand waving back there. You gather around him and after the service if you would like to be of help to our church in that way. I think that covers it. So I'm going to sit down and say I'm also glad to be here.
Welcome. So glad to see all of you today. Our worship series theme is Stained Glass. I love to tell the story. We are surrounded in this space by the stories of Jesus as told through our stained glass windows. The windows have been telling this story since 1921. Totally lost my train of thought. I am tongue-tied, yes. Since 1921, when the sanctuary, rebuilt after being destroyed by fire, was dedicated. Each of the 8 sets of windows along the side of the sanctuary depict the period of Jesus' life and ministry, and the window behind the organ displays his ascension into heaven at the end of his earthly ministry. As we reflect each week on one of the sets of windows, we are beginning to get an idea, as we think about our situations we find ourselves in, of what would Jesus do, or WWJD. This week's window, which is number 8, we've gone through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So our window is right over there today. This week's window tells the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, the events that shaped the Christian understanding of a guiltless Jesus dying at the hands of a sinful establishment and then overcoming the power of that establishment through his resurrection. The side windows demonstrate the women's discovery of an empty tomb on the left, and on the right, the subsequent arrival at the tomb of the disciples after the women bring good news of the resurrection. The center window depicts events of the actual crucifixion, one of which forms our theme for the day when Jesus tells his disciple to include his mother, Mary, as a member of his family. How similar is this to our church's decision last Sunday to become a member of the Syracuse Coalition of Interfaith Churches, providing sanctuary, to stand by those needing a family to turn to. Jesus' understanding of family was not determined by bloodliness, and he calls us to be extravagant and courageous in our love of others and other cultures that the world may reject. So let's remain seated and sing together the first verse of Tell Me the Story of Jesus.
Good morning and welcome. My name is Joyce Flynn and I will be your liturgist this morning. Please stand if you are able and join me in our call to worship, which is this morning borrowed from the Seekers Church in Washington, D.C. What does resurrection look like? The risen one calls, "Follow me to resurrection." This is what resurrection looks like. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And now if you'll please remain standing for our first hymn as you're able. The title is Welcome to God's Love by Mark Miller. It's displayed on the screen and we will ask Dennis to play it through one time before we sing it, as this is a relatively new hymn for many of us.
Families of all shapes and kinds, love the only tie that binds. This is gathering of open minds. Welcome to God's love. Every person has a place in this holy, sacred space. Earth's entire human race, welcome, welcome, welcome. No proof required of your worth, a gift to you before your birth, from the God who made the heavens and earth. Welcome to God's love. We love each other, take and care of every need encountered there. Within God's heart, there is room to spare. Welcome, 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 welcome to God's love. Come and live God's love.
Now remain standing as we greet one another, old friends and friends-to-be, by shaking hands or maybe with a fist bump, saying good morning or peace be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ now with your neighbors. Good morning again. Will the children please come forward if they would like or able, and even the young at heart? And as they come forward, let us sing them in with a song to welcome the children. There's no one like Jesus.
I can't help but find there's no one like him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. Akeiko ofananon Jesu, Akeiko ofanana ye, Akeiko ofanano Jesu, Akeiko ofanana ye.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Come on over this way a little. There we go. I have something to show you here. Can everyone see where they are? I guess good. Can you come over here so there's more space for the kids that are still coming? All right, can you see? Can you see me? Eric, can you see me? So we're going to put these up. These are like big dominoes. Does anyone know what dominoes are? Yeah? So what are dominoes? Didn't I tell?
They're one of those black things that have white dots on them, so they help you count.
Yes, exactly. They help you count, and there's a game to play. So I'm going to put up these big dominoes. Now, has anyone ever made a maze with blocks or with dominoes? You have made one? Yes? Has anyone else made a maze with dominoes or with big blocks? Yes? Okay. So what happens if you accidentally hit one? They all fall over, that's right. So let's see if it works today. Here's, it works, yes. So our blocks fell over. So I think of these blocks as people in our church. And so I find when one person hurts, one person is sad, or one person is grieving, or one person is happy, or one person is, however one person is feeling, it affects the others in the church. And Jesus has asked us to care for one another. So just like when one domino falls, they all fall, when one of us is feeling hurt, all of us can care for each other and that one person who's having a hard time or sad or grieving. So will you pray with me? Do you have any questions, I should say, before we pray? Do you have any questions about the blocks or the dominoes or people in our church? All right. So will you pray with me? Loving God, thank you for the spirit of a child. Thank you that they may come to know you and come to know your love. And that as part of this community, they are able to care for one another, care for each of us as adults, and care for their friends who are children. Please be with each of the children and each of us here so that we know when someone is hurting or sad or grieving, so that we are able to be one block that helps all the others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can now go back to whoever brought you. So you can go sit back in your seat to whoever brought you, whether it be a friend or a parent, a grandparent. Thank you for sharing this time with me. Are graced with our anthem this morning. Amen. If you would like your prayer today to be read as a part of our worship service, please fill out the top part of your lavender slip, and our ushers will be coming down. And let us settle our hearts and minds and bodies in prayer.
Let us now join together in a time of prayer as we pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer and then the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that helps you feel closest to God. Let us pray. God of many blessings, thank you for the beautiful, bright end of summer and for the gift of fall leaves that are wonderful to behold. We recognize our responsibilities to your world and the importance of protecting the air, the land, and the water that you have so richly blessed us with. God of abundant love and blessings, forgive us for the times we have ignored injustice and turned a blind eye to others' hurt and pain. Help us to be as generous with our love, care, and concern for our fellow human beings as you are with your love, care, and compassion for each one of us. God of blessings that surround us and live within us, help us to share the blessings that you have bestowed on us with others, especially those impacted by war, genocide, displacement, hurricanes, earthquakes, and floods. Make us bearers of your peace and love in this tumultuous time. We ask for blessings for our leaders, that they may work cooperatively and constructively with each other for justice for the displaced and the most vulnerable, and to also work to have our country stand for and work for peace in your world. And now let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Mother, Father God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now please stand as you are able and join me in singing Beneath the Cross of Jesus, number 297 in the hymnal in your pew racks and as displayed on the screen. please be seated. Our scriptures this morning come from the Gospels of John and Luke as they recount the crucifixion and resurrection stories. In John verses 25 through 27 of the 19th chapter, it describes the scene as Jesus asks his favorite disciple to take his mother Mary into his household. In the first verses of the 24th chapter of Luke, we hear the story of the women finding Jesus' tomb empty. I will be reading from the Common English Bible. Our first scripture lesson, John 19, 25 through 27. Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood near the cross. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. And now from the scripture reading from Luke chapter 24. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb, bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming, bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but has been raised." When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth. Then he returned home, wondering what had happened. This is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God. And now as we enter into a time of giving...
Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
We can go there.
Good morning again. Today we'll explore the meaning of our eighth window. We will look into the meaning through a scholarly perspective and then ask ourselves what it means for us today. Next week is our final week of the stained glass series. We will not only celebrate Jesus' ascension next week, but we will also celebrate World Communion Sunday, a day when Christians around the world will receive Holy Communion and remember Jesus. We will have some stained glass booklets available that Jane Humbert and Dean Moyer put together for our sacred site tour, and this booklet is what inspired this worship series. So next week we're hoping to have some booklets available. On October 8th, we will begin our next series, Feed God's People, Body, Mind, and Spirit. So this morning, the book of John is known as the spiritual gospel. Written late 1st century or early 2nd century, it was most likely written in Ephesus. The Christian community seemed to have a conflict with the established Jewish leaders. Within this context and struggle, the author's goal was to reassure folks of his community that Jesus was and is the Messiah. The author of John is unknown. So let's look at the scripture from John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. It is striking that only women and the beloved disciple are present at Jesus' death, and that Jesus shows concern for his mother and for the disciple, creating not just a family, but the core of his ongoing community of disciples. So let's put this text into context. During this time, women could not own property, and many times and in many places could not go out unaccompanied by a man. It would have been difficult life as a woman without being cared for under a man's household. Jesus made sure his mother would have a son to care for her after his death in whatever capacity she needed. But the story doesn't stop there. Jesus also says to the disciple, "Here is your mother." Therefore, the mother is not only to treat him as a son, he must treat her as his mother. This may form a balance within a new familial relationship of mutual respect, love, honor, to just name a few. Why was this interaction included in the narrative of Jesus' crucifixion? David Reisenberger notes, "Many suggestions have been made for a symbolic meaning for this incident. Some examples are, the church takes in the heritage of Israel. The church, or Mary herself, is mother to the Christian. Or, there should be loving care within the church." None of these are certain. Jamie Clark Soule says, "In this beautiful scene, Jesus shows the nature of Christian community. We are family not by biology, but by love." These words of Jesus to his mother reveal a great truth of an eternal purpose for every follower of Christ. Are we to care for one another like a mother to a child and a child to a mother? I know folks in this community have taken in children as their own or cared for the needs of an aging couple as their parents. In fact, this congregation, as we heard this morning, voted last Sunday to support sanctuary churches in Syracuse as we journey with undocumented people, searching for an extended family of care in Syracuse. In your own life, who has cared for you as mother, as father, as child? And who have you cared for in this way? Where do we sometimes miss the mark of caring for one another? As I and others read and wrestle with the content within America's original sin, racism, white privilege, and the bridge to a new America, we are learning that as individuals and as a community of Christians, we have missed the mark when it comes to caring for our friends who are persons of color. Jim Wallace challenges us to live the gospel message of Matthew 25 and stand with the oppressed. Have we ignored or missed the mark when it comes to caring for people with dark skin? Have we heard stories of injustice within the Latino, Native American, or African American community and made a choice to not get involved? And the Asian community. Thank you, Elise. Some of Jesus' last words were about caring for each other as a mother and sons or children. How will we live into this kind of love as we move forward? As I mentioned earlier, the author of the Gospel of John is unknown. Some believe John is the author and the beloved disciple that took Mary in as his mother. Others believe that the beloved disciple was Peter. Jamie Clark Soule says, "What if the author of John intentionally left the figure of the beloved disciple unnamed so that you and I and every other future reader can assume that we play this role?" Does Jesus assume that each of us is the beloved disciple? After Jesus died and was buried in the tomb, the women went to the tomb in the passage from Luke. They went to the tomb to care for Jesus' body, a ritual of the culture. These caring women are the first to discover the empty tomb. And therefore, they're the first to share the good news with the others. The good news that Jesus lives. When we care for one another by seeing the other as mother, father, or child, Jesus lives. When we go together in love and grieve to care for another, Jesus lives. When we share this awesome love that Jesus has for each of us, Jesus lives. As our closing hymn reminds us, I am the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Amen.
And now, as we enter into a time of giving, I would like to remind everyone to please place your attendance slips that look like this into the plate as our ushers come down the aisle. I'd like our first-time visitors of the church to know that we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guests, and we're grateful that you are here. Yet we do have a strong tradition of giving in a variety of ways here at University Church. So as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and offerings. And now remain standing, please, and join me in the prayer of dedication, also borrowed from the Seeker's Church, as displayed on the screen. O Holy One, we have come today to claim our relationship with you. Give us strength and discipline to nurture our relationship with you, to foster justice and to be in solidarity with those in need. And to respond joyfully when you call, freely giving ourselves as you have shown the way. Amen. And now please join me in singing our final hymn, Lord of the Dance, number 261 in your pew hymnal and as displayed on the screen.
And now with God's abiding love surrounding us, the hope of the empty tomb within us, and the grace leading us into resurrection, let us answer the risen one's call and touch this crucifying world with his love and grace. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.